We have an amazing day set ahead of you here. We have truly the thought leaders of the alternative investment industry here, people who are actively involved in the leading deals that shape where the markets are headed, as well as the recognized strategic thinkers and visionaries that we all hear about and talk to on a daily basis that relates to, that we see in social media and in the press. The Greenwich Economic Forum, or GEF, is really, our idea is to make this as much of like a Davos or Milken event as we can. So we're not creating anything brand new, but we're trying to be, you know, Davos is Davos, but if we can be the Davos of the alternative investment industry, that's our dream. We've given ourselves 5 to 7 years to be able to do that, so give us a few more years and hope we will be able to achieve that. We're bringing together the top minds, experts, innovators, and influencers in finance and related industries, and generally from different backgrounds and different viewpoints. We're connecting people, organizations, and resources in order to start and catalyze solutions to some of the major global challenges and tensions that we all know exist today. We hear about them in the news all the time. And our idea is to, let's sort of cut through all the noise and the headliners and get into the real substantive issues. We have a multi-day event in an Oasis setting here in Greenwich, Connecticut, this fabulous hotel, the Del Mar. One of my favorite places in Greenwich. I spent too much time here, I think, but it's a fabulous place. You can take in the calm, the beauty, the high service orientation, the friendliness that is distinctive from Greenwich relative to other communities in this area. We have representation at GEF from all the major alternative investment industries, so that's hedge funds, private equity, and venture capital, as well as institutional investors that I mentioned before, as well as business executives, government leaders, and a small but top group of service providers. We have 29 corporate sponsors, and the quality of those corporate sponsors is really exceptional. Industry leaders like Bridgewater, Gramercy, Churchill Nuveen, Rock Creek, B of A, Titan Advisors, the Hong Kong Stock Exchange, Ares, UBS, Standard Chartered, General Atlantic, and that's just a few. If you go outside, you'll see on our step and repeat all the sponsors, and it's really breathtaking. It's a privilege to have all of you here. We also have a limited number of service providers that are leaders and innovators in their field. Firms like Ropes and Gray for law, technology firm RFA, PR firms, ProSec and ASC Advisors, recruiting firm ZRG, start the conference. I'm pleased to introduce the mayor, our first selectman. In New England, we call them the first selectman. Peter Tessie. And I'm honored to have served as his chairman of the Economic Advisory Committee. It's a volunteer group. I've been his chairman for the past 8 years. And so I want to thank you for that opportunity. And Peter, who is leaving office next month, and not to embarrass him too much, but I'll embarrass him a little bit. He has been the longest-serving full-time mayor in the history of Greenwich. And Greenwich is not a young town. It's a town that's 380 years old. It's back to 1640, before the founding of our country. And Peter has been the governor here, the mayor here, for six terms or 12 And that's no small feat in a town of really big egos. We have a lot of big egos in this town. That's really hard to be the first selectman of a town of these big egos. But it's a testament to his well-rounded leadership skills. And among his many accomplishments, both big and small, I would give two examples of what he's done. One is he really maintained his fiscal responsibility in town of Greenwich in an unprecedented way. So thank you for that. He's also had a number of highly successful public-private partnerships that have been really successful. So without further ado, I want to introduce Peter. And thank you so much for coming.
Good morning, everyone. It's a real honor and pleasure to welcome you here to the town of Greenwich, Connecticut, once again. We are really honored this year to have with us our 89th governor, Ned Lamont, who is a Greenwich resident. Layman, who is also a Greenwich resident, so and most notably and exciting to tell you again is that we have our First Lady of Connecticut, Annie Lamont, who's a rock star on our panel again this year. So Annie, thank you. We have several of our state officials, Libby Corn, one of our representatives, and some of our local officials who are here to really experience what the conference is all about and how it's going to have an impact on our town, region, and state. It's our hope that this state program will give you a better perspective of global economic risks, the opportunity to learn more about the latest tools and techniques to deal with them. As we approach the third decade of the 21st century, I'd like to reflect on the immense changes that technology has brought over the past decade. 10 years ago, the world, especially the financial services community, was still recovering from the global financial meltdown of 2008. It was a crisis that many describe as probably the worst since the 1929 stock market crash. Despite predictions that the capitalist world was doomed, skillful and timely intervention by governments, central banks, major players in the financial community helped to prevent that worst-case scenario. The post-crisis recovery has now been smooth. There have been some aftershocks, such as the European debt crisis, as well as the rise of populist and so-called anti-establishment movements on both sides of the Atlantic. Despite these problems, the global economy forges ahead and continues to grow. Sure, critics may say this development in prosperity is uneven. Indeed, the lion's share of development is registered in major urban areas across the globe, while less populated and progressive regions may stagnate or even decline. Nevertheless, no matter what stumbling blocks we encounter, we can confidently say that global economic development will continue to achieve new heights in the years and decades to come. What gives me this confidence? Technology. Today's electronic technology permeates nearly every aspect of our lives. Just think for a second. What was your life like a decade ago, or even 5 years ago? We are now empowered in ways that were previously unimaginable. Technology has its benefits and its negatives, but those benefits far outweigh the negatives. Recently, I was amazed when I saw a news report about how 3D printing is revolutionizing the medical device industry with developing artificial limbs. Most of us believe technological innovation will remain the key to our future success and will open up new horizons and opportunities that we never thought possible. These new opportunities are possible because of the financial strategies and commitments developed by investors and their advisors. The people in this room are responsible for managing as much as $4 trillion, and we're all probably asking ourselves, how will technology impact the financial services sector in my livelihood? We are here today precisely because we don't want to be counted among those who are intimidated and powerfully accelerating pace. Rather, we should count ourselves among those who are courageous enough to want to lead and harness those changes. I want to thank everyone who has helped make this forum possible. Our Economic Advisory Committee, Jim Aiello and Bruce McGuire, co-chairs of the Greenwich Business Institute. To our esteemed resident, Ray Dalio, who has strongly supported this forum from its inception. And most of all, to all of you who have chosen to spend the next 2 days with us. We do hope that over the course of these days, you have a chance to experience a little bit about Greenwich, its beauty, resources and culture, as well as enjoy each other. So thank you so much, and wishing you all the best for a successful Forum. Now it's my high honor and pleasure to introduce Connecticut's 89th governor, our Greenwich resident, and a longtime friend of mine, Ned LaMotta.
People that he's been doing this for that many years, and him and here in the Davos of America, I'm happy to be here. I did get brought here in Greenwich. I started my telecommunications company in Greenwich. I'm now up in Hartford. In Hartford, I'm known as governor. Here in Greenwich, I'm known as Annie Lamott's trailing spouse, and I know my place. But it does give you a certain perspective on what's going on, having started a business here in Greenwich and living up in Hartford now. As your governor, as a Democratic governor. And I'll just leverage off of what Peter said. I mean, this is a state that, somewhat divided. And the distrust of elites is not just true in Connecticut, but it's, I think, true across the board. And one of the things I've got to do as a governor is trying to make sure that people are together, make sure they know that we're in this together and we're all rolling in the same direction. And you heard a little bit, we dwell on our bad news here in the state. As Peter was talking about, you go right down the road here to Stanford. And yep, we had a contraction of the financial services business. So what used to be the enormous UBS building was empty, and there was a lot of woe is us. What, tell us about the future. Well, let me tell you, what was once the largest trading floor in the world, the UBS trading floor, will soon be the largest digital production studio in the world, the WWE. And I've just got to remind people every day not to be scared of change, but to embrace change and talk about what we're doing. We've got the Indeed is growing, Charter Communications, and Synchrony, and the wind is to our back when it comes to what's happening in Stanford. Look, right down the road is town of Fairfield. And probably what a lot of you know about Fairfield is that's where GE used to be, and then GE left, and last one out, turn out the lights. Well, change of location didn't turn around GE, but I can tell you that, former location, the GE headquarters, is now a major center for computer science and computer engineering, and we got folks coming from around the world as we bring our economy here in Connecticut into the 21st century. And right down the road is New Haven. Okay, woe is us. Maybe we missed the computer science revolution here, the internet revolution, social media. Let me tell you, in Yale, New Haven, Jackson Labs, we have the wind to our back. An enormous new neuroscience center, and the basic research is propelling us where we want to go. Immunology, quantum physics. Here, we have the wind to our back. Here, you'll see dozens of startups all in and around the greater New Haven area going down the coast. They want to be there because we have the basic research, we have the academic partnerships, and we're about half the price of Boston and New York with an amazing quality of life. Further afield, woe is us, we have all these old manufacturing companies. That's nonsense. We maybe don't have Silicon Valley, but we've had the Silicon Valley of manufacturing, and that is reborn right now. We build the most sophisticated submarines in the world, the most sophisticated jet engines. We do the most sophisticated health. Those things that are complicated to build are built right here. And we have thousands and thousands of jobs that we can't fill right now. Shame on us, because we're not training the people with the skills they need to be able to get that done. And I'm not going to let that happen. And finally, the elephant in the room is Hartford. This didn't happen. And we have to get our fiscal house in order. It took a long time to get into this situation, and we're going to get our way out of this situation. And we made a start. We inherited an enormous deficit, and we balanced the budget without raising taxes. No governor's done that. And that said, we can begin to live within our means. The Wall Street Journal, not exactly a great cheerleader for the state of Connecticut, but they said, look, Lamott inherited a big hole, and at least he stopped digging. Okay, I'll take it. That's progress for me. And a couple of the rating agencies took us from a neutral to positive, just sending a signal that we're turning things around. You know, and woe is us, they all point out, we're going to have, say, 10,000 state employees retiring over the next 3 or 4 years. Oh, how we can replace all these people. Who said anything about replacing? Incredible opportunity for us to realign government. You know, Peter talking about, you know, government missed the IT revolution. We don't use carrier pigeons, but we do about 99% of what we got to do is still on paper. We turn that around. We go from Sears Roebuck to an Amazon-type government portal experience. I think you can see a real turnaround. What we got to do is demonstrate what we can do in state government. And I got to give people confidence that over time we're making that difference. And we know what it means to be a taxpayer in this state. We know what it means to have the workforce you need. I know what it means to have transportation. You know, my God, we're coming up to a vote in the legislature in the next couple of weeks. I can take rail service from Stamford or Greenwich down to New York. I can take 15 minutes off of that, 20 minutes off of that. I can do that pretty quickly, get 5G service so it's not a wasted commute. We got to invest in that. These are the type of things we got to do. And I'll just tell you one last thing. A lot of folks in the state, and they don't know what a hedge fund is and what private equity is. And I can talk about your investing our pensions and our state pensions and making sure people have security, what we're doing for the environment, for private equity is for startup. But what I can do is I can tell what each and every one of you do, you know, for your state. And that's so important. You know, Cliff Asness from AQR, you know, what he's doing in terms of workforce development for the state of Connecticut, helping us take the lead there and making sure our job skills are aligned with the kids that need it. Steve Mandel, Lone Pine, what he's doing in terms of education investment. Dewey, former head of Pepsi, she was retired for about an hour before I said, hey, look, the state of Connecticut needs you. We need you as a champion for the state. No one is better able to recruit businesses here to the state than fellow business people who understand what they've got to do. And you mentioned Ray Dalio. Let me just tell you, Ray and Barbara, his wife, made the biggest investment in the state of Connecticut in the history of this state. And okay, you can give money, have your name on a wall of a nice museum down in New York City, but they invested in $100 million matched by the state of Connecticut, matched by other private investors for disadvantaged and disconnected kids. They drop out at ninth grade. There's no, it's tough to get them back. Incredibly expensive to get them back. And we need each and every one of these kids. This is a really unique time to lift people up. Given the tens of thousands of jobs that we're having a hard time filling, given the silver tsunami of people retiring in a state like ours that doesn't have a big growing population, we need each and every one of those kids and what they're doing. So I mentioned some of these folks just to tell you, this is how I tell the story. This is why I'm proud that Greenwich is the hedge fund capital of America. This is why these are the people and this is what they're doing you know, for their state as great citizens. And I'll just leave you with the fact that, look, I got married in the state, we raised our kids, started, not leaving, I'm sticking. I love the state of Connecticut. I'd love to convince each and every one of you who are here, get involved in the state, we need you. Those of you who aren't here, come on over, the water's feeling. Thanks, everybody.
Keynote speakers joining one another in a fireside chat. They need no introduction. It is Ray Dalio, the co-CIO of Bridgewater Associates, and Paul Tudor Jones, CIO of Tudor Investment Corporation, two legends in the industry and conversations.
My, as you know, my third daughter, Dottie, is graduating from getting a master's in data science in December. And so the question is, what is she going to do? Is she going to go, she's probably going to come into our business, the hedge fund world. And so I'm trying to figure out, she's trying to figure out, do I try to teach her myself, my craft, which may be outdated because the future might be, some would say might be machines and models, or does she go the quant route as opposed to the macro discretionary route? Either way, she's probably going to be involved in macro. What I told her, I said, listen, because she had a undergraduate degree in psychology, she got a master's in psychology, so she doesn't have the economics training. I was an economics major, you're an economist. And I said, here's what's going to happen when you're going to go to the Bridgewater website, and you're going to get on economicprinciples.com, where there are over 2,000 pages. And I said, you're going to read every single page, because if you want to truly understand macroeconomics, there literally is no better education than what's available publicly on that website. And just as someone who consumes virtually everything that's written on modern economic theory, macro, et cetera, I would kind of liken Bridgewater to the charter school movement in education, where you had traditional public education, and then 30 years ago, practitioners, by doing, created a new way of teaching in classrooms that is extraordinarily successful, and you can see the side-by-side metrics, and there's not even a comparison. So I would say that I'm so thankful to be having this conversation with what I think is certainly the greatest, one of the greatest economists living today, who's made economics understandable and comprehensible and relevant, and it's because you are a practitioner as opposed to a theorist living in academia. And all I've got to say is that you're really good now, but I actually think that when you die, you're going to be really famous. Yeah.